We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He turns. He fires for the win. He's got the bucket at the buzzer.
Weber back to Bibby. Has the open shot.
Ladies and gentlemen, up on those feet, put those hands together, and we'll meet tonight starting five for your Sacramento Kings!
Welcome to the Kings Beat Podcast. I am James Hammond, Kings Insider for ESPN 1320 and the Kings Beat. Joining me today, Box 40, Sean Cunningham. Sean, how are you?
I'm pretty great. It's a sunny day out there, and we haven't had a lot of that lately. So I'm hoping it stays sunny, and if it can get warm, that'd be great too. But it's awesome. I love weather. You know me. I always talk about the weather in this town. So that's why we live in California, James. Needs to be sunny and warm.
Sunny and warm. Of course, we are joined by Brendan Nunes from the Kings Pulse podcast. Brendan, how are you?
Doing well. Yeah, I feel like we're back talking about the weather. I feel obligated to mention candles. I don't have a lighter near me anywhere, but Sean's got it going here. But
got it.
I got calendars. I got candles staring me in the face, unlit. But it is what it is. We play on.
I don't have a candle. I do have a giant cup of hot tea.
Nice.
It's a pretty big cup. Oh, I think this is an Alaska cup from this.
What kind?
For my trip. I like to mix my teas. So I have a black cherry tea mixed with a peppermint tea. A little bit of honey.
All right. Yeah. I drink a lot of iced tea. Iced tea is like my go-to.
Yeah.
Iced black tea, no sugar.
Oh, see, my mom was born in Oklahoma, sweet tea has been part of my life forever. So,
can't do it too sweet.
What's going on? Okay, number one, we are a Blue Wire podcast, so big shout out to Blue Wire. Number two, we are sponsored by Prize Picks. I have been having a rocky up and down. Last couple of weeks when it comes to Prize Picks, but I think overall I'm pretty far ahead. I have stumbled upon this secret stat, which is Keegan Murray dunks. So 0.5 dunks, and I choose more every time. So I highly recommend the Keegan Murray 0.5 dunk. It usually is a nice little thing to I don't know, tie all of your selections together. Give Prize Pick a shot if you'd like. It's been a lot of fun. I've been playing all season long. For a lot of the season, I was just getting clubbed, which was not great. I do know one of our media friends had a big night. It is entertaining, isn't it? One of our media friends had a huge win yesterday, I believe. Someone came home with like $250 and posted it on the interwebs and everything. So good for them. It's been a fun run. So if you are interested in Prize Picks, there is a link down below in the description and you can go to that link. I think it's Kings Beat is the promo code. They'll match up to, I think $100 in new money. if it's your first time playing Prize Picks. And especially with all the football coming up this weekend, it should be a really good time. And Kings are on the road. Maybe it adds a little bit more while they're on the road because you have a little bit more to tune into. All right, let's get to the basketball side. Or we can get to the business side. Number one, give us a thumbs up and a rating and review if you don't mind. Subscribe to the channel. We've been doing good work here for a long time, and we love what we're doing and want to continue doing it.
But before we get into that, since people love our beginning rants, can I just ask Sean if he either already went bowling today or is planning on bowling later today?
How dare you? Does this look like a bowling? This does kind of look like a bowling
shirt. Absolutely. Looks
like it does. It's just a Nike golf shirt, you know?
Sure.
I guess it could double as a bowling shirt.
You look like
not a good red.
Not a good look. I will say this. We had a shout out my boy JT, who I work with over at Fox 40, works on our assignment desk, and he had a birthday recently, right after the first of the year. And so this guy loves to have a lot of people around for his birthday. Like, he tried to get people to come into this, like, one of the Sacramento area clubs, and everyone, you know, the type where you pay admission or wait in a long line or have dress codes. I said, bro, no one's doing that. No one's trying to have bottle service for you and spend all this money, bro. We're not going to do that. So we did a punch bowl, like a private one of those, the other side of the room. And it was great. There was a lot of people that showed up for it. Everyone, it was a good success. And they had a bowling alley there. And on one of the moments, there's just people just taking shots down the lane, that just to see how they do. They're not really playing. So basically an abandoned game that somebody walked away from. And I went up there and I just threw it down the way. Everyone was going gutter ball and all this stuff. And I just went down there, chucked it down there, and bowled a strike.
Had that shirt on too.
I probably should have had this shirt on.
I'm feeling like it's laundry day. I'm feeling like Sean is caught in laundry day for like 2 days.
Because he wore a green shirt the other day.
He wore a green shirt yesterday, which I've never seen you wear a green shirt. Is it laundry day?
No, it's, I will say, like, I have gone a little deeper into the closet lately, and I've gone through and taken some inventory. And go, I've never really worn that. But so, you know. Like, all the right. The darker colors are a little more slimming, so it's a good thing. And you know, I went with the green. I've got many purple ones. I don't, you know, wear a purple shirt at the Kings games. We frown on that. So, but yeah, man.
All right,
I'm mixing it up a bit.
All right, let's get into it.
I didn't know this.
Brennan, a little
did
bit.
You're welcome, Brennan. Did you get into any TV? I know we had, I tasked you with seeing Poor Things.
I have not Frankie watched saw anything.
It. Oh.
Your buddy Frankie saw it, so I was hoping he would entice you to see it.
Nope. Not me.
Nope. I still haven't seen it, Sean. I need to get out there and see that.
Yeah. You're going to look me in the eye. I feel like James is going to look me in the eye and go, what was that?
No. I like obscure, weird, you know.
It's a weird one.
One of my favorite movies ever is A Clockwork Orange. Like, that's out there. Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, that is out there. Stanley Kubrick is a great director, Brendan, back in the day. A lot of Full Metal Jacket, you know.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yes, yes. Sure. It was his last movie, was Eyed Wide Shut. Was that the one? Is that the last one he did?
Tom Cruise one of them.
Kidman?
Yep, yeah. Yep. Wow. I'm sure Brendan didn't see that as well.
No, he's never seen it.
Some of the classics, yeah. He definitely has got a bunch of classics under his belt. Isn't he 2001 Space Odyssey?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Good knowledge.
All right. Yeah, all right. Yeah, let's move along. We got weirdness that's going on with the Sacramento Kings.
Do we?
They lose four straight. And yeah. Like, to be honest, the last three losses I was like more okay with than most of their other losses this season. They're like standard. I mean, blowing a 22-point fourth quarter lead is one thing. Losing by, you know, by 1 point when you had an opportunity to go up six with 18 seconds left, that's another thing. But those are like almost normal losses in the NBA compared to like the 15, 20, 25, 30 point blowouts. Anytime you can start counting by fives and talking about blowout losses, that's not usually a good thing. But then you know, they settle in, they find out, they figure out a way to take down the Atlanta Hawks. It was kind of a weird game, but I think we have this weirdness that's going on where, for whatever reason, De'Aaron Fox doesn't look like De'Aaron Fox all that much on the court. At least he didn't last night. And like, we've got some weird stuff going on off the court. Like, where are we at, guys? Where do we take this discussion from here?
I don't know. I mean, we mentioned it in the last podcast. There's a funk. There's this weirdness that's just hanging over the team a little bit. And I think it has everything to do with how number five is feeling. And part of it is there's the dog days of the season. Part of it is, you know, some pretty frustrating losses, I would imagine. And, you know, really you're getting into the trade deadline stuff. I think that also plays a role with some people on this team. But overall, I think when it comes to De'Aaron, you know, not speaking to the media for over 2 weeks is we were trying to find some answers as to why that was, and he wasn't able to share that. But you can clearly see in the interview that we were able to conduct before the game
Monday.
Yeah, before the Hawks game, which, by the way, just because I've seen a lot of people wondering, yes, there is media availability before the game. You have shoot around in the morning. You have a pregame locker room. There are interviews that take place before games, just so people know. There is open locker room before games. Yeah, so that's not
5:45 to 6:15, we have media access. So people understand the day. We get there, we have to be in the press room for Mike Brown at 5:15. The visiting coach talks at 5:30. The locker room opens from at 5:45 until 6:15. I'm in the locker room every game. But I don't do a lot of interviews in there. On occasion, if I'm working on something or I'll take out my phone and go have a conversation with someone and record it. But for the most part, it's more about, especially in post COVID, it's about being part of their world and making sure that they're comfortable with who we are. Lots of off the record conversations and basic nonsense. Like, tell you, Sasha Vezenkov doesn't like anything on his food at all. He wants bland food all the time. It's one of the reasons why he's looking around and like, I'm not sure about this US thing, that like all the food has too much flavor. Like, there's just randomness that we talk about. And we've mentioned this before, like I check in with Alex Len, you know, whenever he's in the locker room, make sure he's okay with all of his family stuff in Ukraine and all that. So anyway, back to what you're saying, Sean.
Well, and just, you know, I think if anyone saw that, De'Aaron Fox appeared different. I made it. There was a lot of things I wanted to that we wanted to talk about, but clearly seeing how he was interacting was obviously not the most pleasant experience. So I left some things out. Was going to end the interview with asking him, saying, "Hey, wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask your take on as to why we haven't heard from you in so long." And Jason Anderson was able to kind of beat me to the punch. And he obviously didn't want to talk about that. So now I know there's a lot of people say, "Oh, poor media. You guys complain about this a lot," but you have to understand that an NBA player, it's their job. LeBron James speaks every day. There's certain days you can give people, you know, "Hey, if you want to take a day here and there," like, it happens throughout the course of a season for sure. But a 2 week span is troublesome. It's just part of the gig, man. It's why you make a lot of money. That's why it's just how these things work in every professional sport and even college sports, where guys, you know, aren't historically making the money that they are now in
NIL. They are now.
It's just the gig. That's just the gig. And whether you're the last man on the totem pole or you're the highest guy in the face of the franchise, it comes with the territory. Coaches have to go through it even more, and they don't get nearly compensated as well as these players do. So I left some things out, figured could save him for another day. Wanted to get his overall assessment of the team before they go on the road, and what he's seen over the past few weeks. And he might as well had a gun to his head. It was just wasn't good. And, but I feel like it's helpful because fans who might be going, oh, what's wrong with De'Aaron? He looks like there's a lot, and you see it if you're on social media, Reddit, YouTube comments, talk radio, podcast comments, all this stuff. People are taking notice of it, and to give him the opportunity to kind of hear from it, you can kind of see it right there. So I thought the words or the actions spoke a little bit louder than the few words he spoke, but I think it's a good step forward, and hopefully it's just it won't be too much of an issue going forward. But I think he sent a pretty loud message with his lack of cooperation there.
Yeah, and I'll just add that, like, I've seen people kind of going at him of like, this is a shit example of leadership and things like that. And there's just a lot of potential factors that go into this. Like, everybody is human and you don't know what anybody could be dealing with. And not to say that, like, I have no clue the extent of like what he's going through in his personal life, obviously, but there always could be things with anybody, as there could be with any human day to day. And I think that's important to take into account here. And I think that it's one of those situations where we've kind of talked about, I have a little bit of a different perspective kind of being newer, and this is my first time dealing with something like that. And so I kind of have some questions, I guess I could present to you guys if that works. And yeah. I think the first thing, and it also, I'd imagine, is a question that a lot of the fans have, and I kind of already know the answer to this, but there's like a contractual obligation here, right, that comes with doing that. So if you guys don't mind, I think it'd be helpful for the fan base, like, explaining the extent of that contractual obligation and how often, like, there's kind of a gray area that players float around in there.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, in terms of what, contractual obligation to speak to the media?
To speak with media, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's the gig. Like I said, everyone is required to do it. Everyone has to be made available. The way it works is you put in a request, hey, when you talk to this person, whatever, shoot around, practice, post game. I'll give you an example. Like, it's not exclusive to De'Aaron Fox. I think if people have paid enough close enough attention, you don't hear from Harrison Barnes all that much. In fact, you didn't hear about it last night, and he was 1 point shy of a season high, and he hit the 30-point plateau for the second time this season, and Domantas Sabonis said he won him the game. Crickets. We didn't hear from him. And it happens quite often. You know, I've talked to Harrison at many points, you know, throughout his time here, a lot of time behind the scenes. I know he's a guy that typically has a routine, and I respect the routine, and there's things that, you know, I can usually get him at practices or shoot-arounds, but he's also a guy that you see and linked to a lot of trade rumors right now as well. And I think he's a guy who's conducts himself in a certain way. And there comes a point sometimes where he will be a little bit absent. I'm not excusing the behavior because we've seen it before. But again, this isn't exclusive to Fox. You've got guys that just for whatever reason go through these things. Right. And, It's just tough that, you know, it's part, again, to your point, to your original question, it's part of the gig. Look, people are human. We understand that. Like, there's ups and downs in everyone's lives. Just because you make a lot of money and have a high profile job doesn't make you any different from anybody else in this world who's on the grind and feeling some kind of way. But those things, when you are in the public eye and you have a routine of being one way, and then all of a sudden it's different, and then you don't have necessarily a reason communicated or conveyed for that reason, it becomes problematic. You have to be able to communicate that somehow so that the media can protect you in that way and say there are things at work. Look at Ben Simmons' situation. If there was a mental health aspect, and you've seen how that played out in recent years, but make no mistake, De'Aaron Fox not speaking to the media, he's not the first player not to do it in the Kings era. These things happen sometimes, and you deal with them, and they shouldn't last 2 weeks. But there are ramifications that come with that from a league and team standpoint.
Okay, and I would add this, like, a couple of things. Number one, like, Sean and I have both known De'Aaron Fox and see his 19-year-old kid with spiky hair. I've never really had a problem with De'Aaron Fox at all.
No,
like, he's cocky. He's brash. He's a lot of fun. He's also very quiet, but he's a good dude. Like, I've had plenty of interactions with him, and I don't think, like, he and I have ever had like a crossword where we needed to sit down and have discussions. Now, like DeMarcus Cousins, sure. Multiple times there were times where he and I needed to go have like a conversation away from everybody else and clear the air on things, whether it was something I wrote, something I said on TV or something on the radio, whatever it might be. Like, that's kind of like who he was. With Fox, never been an issue, never had an issue a crossword with Harrison Barnes. But I also add, in this specific situation, we had the game where the Kings got blown out by the Pelicans. And I asked Mike Brown a question about accountability with players and players not showing up. Then they go on the road. And while they're on the road is when he stopped talking to media, right? Like, I wasn't all that aware until they got back that he hadn't really spoken to the media. I think what we've seen now, where it comes down to, you know, one beat writer on the road, no one is standing in front of cameras for NBC Sports Bay Area. You're not getting player interviews after games. You're not getting any of that stuff now. We're not seeing any of that go either, even if it's on social media. We're not getting what we used to get from when the team is on the road. And that's not, I don't think it's a team fault. I don't know what the deal is there. I'm just going to say, you know, if you're waiting around and watching post game and hoping that you're going to get a player interview, you're probably not going to, right? So when they get back, it wasn't until then that we started to realize that it had become an issue while they were on the road. And then we've had a couple of days of practice and stuff where just they're not going to talk. And now we're two games in. And so I think this thing quietly snowballed without us really realizing that it was snowballing, to make Sean laugh. We had this great situation. It's a lot.
You have to probably explain that.
We'll explain that. Like, we had this moment with Bogdan Bogdanovic when he was a young player where Sean asked him if the game kind of snowballed on him. And Bogey just kind of looked at him and then looked at me and then looked back. And I'm like, do you not know what snowballed means? And he goes, so I had to explain to him what snowballed meant, you know, like where, like, you know, it's like a little tiny snowball and it starts rolling down the hill, but he keeps collecting more snow and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. He's like, oh, okay. I get what you're saying. Yes, it snowballed. That's what he said. So we had this moment, and then Sean and I, I got to see Bogey yesterday. He was in town with the Hawks. He commented on my beard, which he was not used to. And for Sean, what did he say to you, Sean?
Yeah, I saw him in the before the game, and he said, "Hey, Sean." And I set up that he was talking to somebody else, and I didn't mean to interrupt him because I was setting up a tripod off to the side. And he just looked at me. He goes, "Snowball." Remember that? I start laughing. So I hope he doesn't call me Snowball from now on. But I guess
there it would
probably fit.
Anyway, this situation snowballed kind of while we weren't paying attention to it snowballing, because there was no way for us to really know that it had gotten to this point. And then it was, you know, some of our friends that were on the road that said, yeah, he hasn't talked. And I'm like, what do you mean? It is a 4-game road trip. He didn't talk at all. No, he didn't talk. It's like, oh, okay. And then he didn't talk practice. He didn't talk at a game. He didn't talk at another practice. Didn't talk at another practice. Didn't talk. So we got to a point where this thing was getting a little larger. And like, again, for me, like, there are times where I need De'Aaron Fox for something. But for the most part, like, I'm okay talking to De'Aaron when I talk to De'Aaron. If there's something going on that I need to have a conversation with, yes, that's fine. And I know he's the face of the franchise and all that. But I'll also say that, like, for 5 years, this team was complete ass. And that guy stood in and had to take questions regardless of how bad the game was, because he was a quote-unquote face of the franchise. And that's through some of the darkest times. So I'm not someone who calls the league and says, hey, like, we have a problem. I usually try to, like, figure out how to get around that problem and have a conversation and then get past it. But that's not the way these things always play out. And so I'm like, I guess to answer your question, Brennan, yeah, he's got to talk. And he's got to talk, like, not every day, although it's possible you could request him every day. And by the letter of the law, he might talk every day. But it's kind of customary that if a player talks after a game, he doesn't have to talk the next day at shoot around, or he doesn't have to talk the next day at practice. If he talks at practice and then he goes on to have like a mediocre game and two other guys have a better game, those guys probably will talk during the game. And so we have sort of like this ebb and flow of when you get a player and when you don't, unless there's something specific. Like today, De'Aaron Fox was named as one of the 41 finalists for Team USA national team. We'd probably want to talk to De'Aaron Fox about the national team tomorrow. I don't know if the team will have practice before they go on the road, but that's when you start to have these times where you do ask him questions, or where it's kind of scheduled that we're going to have a conversation with somebody.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll kind of throw in is I see a lot of comments, and I think one of you guys addressed it earlier about like, why does the media feel so entitled to having to talk to these guys? And to what you guys were just saying, like, this is a contractual obligation, and I've kind of had to come to terms with accepting and understanding really that like the fan base also wants to hear from this guy. Like, really, when it comes down to it, we're just the middleman in a way that's getting that information out. And obviously we're the ones asking questions and being there and all that, but I'm sure the fan base wants to hear from the cornerstone when what's going on, specifically in a 4-game losing streak. And his voice is important and matters to the fan base. And I think that that's the important part here, rather than like media feeling obligated or like they have this, you know, just sense of he has to be speaking with us. It's literally in the contract, and there's reasons for that, because the fan base wants to hear from him. You're the face of the team when it comes down to it, which is why he's getting more focus on him than a Harrison Barnes, for example, even if the same sort of thing is going on. And yeah, definitely an interesting situation from my perspective, kind of dealing with this for the first time.
Yeah. And Brendan, I'll add that, like, for people who ask that specific question, like, you have to understand that, like, there's an accountability to everybody. Like, the players need to be accountable for the actions on the floor. Mike Brown steps up every single post game and every single practice and has to answer for what's happening with his team. And there's other people who are accountable for every aspect of this. Somebody has to go get those players for us. Somebody has to say yes or no. Like, there's all of these layers of accountability, and part of the accountability aspect for us is that we have to answer the questions that are out there the best we can by asking a player to answer that question. So like some of the questions I've had to ask over my career, they feel really shitty. They're not fun to ask, but at the same time, they're a necessary part of the job, because if I have that question in my head, or if I see it like 15, 20 times on social media, then there are more people than that out there that are asking that same question. And we're the ones who have the access to ask that question. And it's just that, like, again, Sean asked a bunch of questions rapid fire of De'Aaron Fox because he got like 5-word answers. That's Sean's job, is to go in there and ask those questions. And just like it was Jason's job to ask the awkward question in the room, the delivery isn't always perfect from all of us, but at the same time, that's our portion of this accountability. It's our part of what like has to be done in these situations. And again, it's awkward. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't, you know, when a player is about to get traded or a coach is about to get fired, like those are tough things to have conversations about. And that doesn't mean you don't. You just have to be gentle with it the best you can. And sometimes you got to hit somebody with a question that is slightly awkward because we need the answer. And so that's where we're at. Does that make sense, yeah. Sean?
And not to belabor the point, because I know we want to move on, but I'll say this, like, I think it needs to be said, like, this is these are usually matters that happen behind the scenes.
Yeah.
We're only talking about it because this has been dragged out into the public for so long and people have been wondering. And obviously there's the interview yesterday. And I think that interview, like I said, spoke louder than the words he said, because people are like, what the hell is wrong with him? Right. And look, I can just tell you right now that thinking that how I operate, you know, I not to sound callous, but I don't consider my other media peers necessarily when I do my job. And so if I thought he and I might have had a problem, I have gone to him a week ago and to make sure that, hey, if you've got a problem with me, let's talk, right? Mm-hmm. I thought maybe there might be a problem with me directly, based off of how a tweet I had during the Pelicans game. James talked about the question that he asked to Mike Brown. Well, I had a tweet saying it's embarrassing that the Kings had let Keon Ellis, a two-way player, answer for another blowout loss. And I stand by that, because that's embarrassing. Nobody should want that to happen, because he didn't hardly play in that game. He wasn't really in the rotation, and they were already down 50 by the time he got back into the game. So I stand by that. And when I asked De'Aaron about it, he said he was not upset with me at all. So I would not have reported that just now, but now things have come to light and people are like, probably heard my interview go, boy, De'Aaron Fox is pissed at that reporter or Jason Anderson. And it's no, I can tell you that at least, unless he's lying to me to my face, that he told me that was not the case. So again, these things usually happen behind the scenes. That's between, you know, the reporter or whoever else, but I think there are bigger factors that are playing a role in this situation with this team, because it's bigger than just De'Aaron Fox. I outlined what, you know, there are many things that are kind of happening at the moment, and it's weird because typically this is behavior of a losing team. And granted, they've been in a little bit of a tough stretch, but they have the identical record to last year at this time, and it feels completely different. And I think that's the perfect segue to say, what the hell is going on with this basketball team?
Can I get one more in there?
Sure. Yeah.
This is not like a question of De'Aaron's character at all. It's just a complicated situation behind the scenes. I don't think it's a reason to question his leadership or things like that, albeit like throwing De'Aaron Fox out there throwing Keon Ellis out there twice after blowout losses, after the Boston one, which he actually did play in a bit, but the New Orleans one where he didn't play until the game was totally out of hand. Like that's not on just Fox. It's like, there's like 7 guys that play consistently. Like one of them should probably be the ones owning up to this. And so I just want to get in, like, you know, we're addressing it as you guys said, because it's being talked about so much with the fan base, but it's not meant to be an attack on De'Aaron or, nope, or a questioning of his character or anything like that.
No, well, in fact, he's the most cooperative, one of the most cooperative players we've had in Sacramento during at any stretch. I mean, he's been here for a long time now and he's very, very cooperative. And that's why it becomes such an issue when your face of your franchise doesn't talk for 2 weeks and you have body language and short answers that way, where there's clearly something going on. So you have to ask about it. So, no, he's great in dealing with the media. He's always accessible. And that's what makes this so polarizing, because it's out of the norm. This isn't something that, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, the old expression, pulling teeth to get a guy to cooperate. That happens. You know, some of these guys, as great as they are, and the personalities, everyone's different. Some people would rather not. I mean, they all would rather not, but some people take a little bit more budging and kind of urging to have to do the job.
Yeah. And I would like to wrap it up. Like, our job is to advocate for the questions that need to be asked. And that means that a lot of times we're advocating for you, the fan. And like, if you've watched this podcast long enough, you probably have got to know like sort of who we are a little bit as people. And sometimes it gets combative. Sometimes it's not an easy game. I've lost my cool once or twice, one time really bad, on a media relations, like situation a couple of years ago. And it's not always a good scene, but we're fighting for things like access, for things like injury reports, for things that should matter to you guys, for transparency, for honesty, and for things that, you know, like sometimes get hidden in these situations. And so like, this is not about arrogance of us demanding something or anything else. It's about straight up trying to provide the best coverage that we can for everyone. And so I hope people understand that, like, we're not like the big bad bullies, and we're also Sacramento media. Like, we don't have a reputation as New York media. We're not literally burning guys to the ground every 2 seconds. You know, guy misses a shot, we're not running him over with a car. Yeah, there you go. Exactly. No, I mean, like, literally, I think we all think of the game differently. And I think you've seen that if you've watched this podcast or listened to this podcast for any amount of time. Like, we all analyze the game. We all think of the game differently. We all have very different opinions. But when it comes to providing coverage, that's what we're here for. And we're trying to fight for that all the time. And I, you know, again, like, this will blow over and Fox will be Fox. And hopefully it's sooner rather than later. Because again, I don't want to misrepresent who he is. To me, he's always been a good dude who's always taken care of us and always been more than willing to talk. Even in the darkest of darkest of darkest times. I mean, sometimes we made the game out of guessing which color do-rag he would wear during the pandemic after, you know, in post-game, just to lighten the mood, because the team was losing by 30 every night. And that's just not fun. And the fact is, he stood there and took it every single night. So, like, it's just, we're in a weird situation. So,
and I want to say one more thing real quick. it's actually admirable in a way, because it's his face out there, it's his reputation, and he's the one that's going to be dragged through the muck as a result of the actions. And if he's going through something, he's giving himself the time to go through it, all the while knowing that that's going to take place. And if he's doing something to prove a point, he's doing so knowing that he's going to have his name dragged through the muck, and there are ramifications that come with it. So if he's doing it to prove a point, he's okay with that. Makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, all right, let's move on.
It's not like he's going to be caught off guard by any ramification. So,
no, I hope not. And I hope it doesn't hit him in the pocketbook. Right. Like, I'm not a guy who calls the league and says, "Hey, like, what's going on here?" I'm somebody who tries to take care, but who tries to work through the situation in front of me, and hopefully it works out for the best. Let's talk about sort of the weird thing that happened on Monday night. And that is, Harrison Barnes looked like Harrison Barnes. And Brandon, I'm going to go to you, because to be honest, I don't know how else to explain it, but like, that's what kind of what we've been talking about the whole time this year. Harrison Barnes has just been shelved more than he has gotten old or, you know, something else. At least that's what it felt like.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know. It's a tough way to explain it. I don't know if I'd necessarily use getting shelved, but like I said, it's a tough way to explain it for sure. And, or it's tough to explain. And the answers we've gotten previously are just that it's a free-flowing offense. Coach is not calling very many plays. And he even said post-game when asked about, like, how do you get Harrison involved more often, like happened tonight against Atlanta. And he was like, well, if I'm sitting there calling plays all the time, it's really going to slow our team down. And a huge part of the identity is playing fast for this group. So I think he did a really good job of maintaining his aggression throughout the course of the game, which I think has at times been lacking this season. Just I felt like last year and in years prior, HB was really good about recognizing a moment. And it's like, okay, team's going through a little bit of an offensive rut. And he'd kind of force his way to the free throw line. And that hadn't happened very often throughout the course of this season. We saw that a little bit last night. And obviously, as he got into a rhythm, they started to go to him later in the game. They started to give him post-up touches off switches and things like that. And good things happened from that point. But it was kind of interesting post-game to hear like Sabonis say that most nights he does have a mismatch. And we should probably try to get him the ball more often and for him to be more aggressive. This felt like a game where there definitely was a bit more aggression from him, but also shots are going down and most of them did feel within the flow of the offense. So it's interesting because it's one of those performances where you feel like that could happen almost any given night. It just really hasn't throughout the course of this season. You have to go back to the very first game of the year, really.
Yeah. On this season, he has three games over 20. It was the first game of the year and there's a game in November and then last night. So he hadn't scored 20 and he's only scored 30 twice. He's got 33 in the opener and 32 last night. That's also, I think, the second time in his entire career with the Kings where he shot 20 field goal attempts. I guess I'm going to throw it to you this way, Sean, just because I'm an a-hole. Were the Kings just showcasing Harrison Barnes last night and
Christ.
Showing people? I mean, at
Mute
the end
your
of the day,
sir. How dare you?
At the end of the day, were they just going, so hey, for any of you out there that were wondering why he's averaging 10 points a game, it's really not him. It's us. We're the a-holes. But look, he can still do it. He can. We just don't let him do it because we're going a different direction with some other people.
The way to ask that, the way to answer that is, I mean, they weren't showcasing him. He showcased himself.
Oh,
I mean, James, typically what we've seen is this team try to get HB going with a few shots in the early going. Like, it could be the first shot of the game, could be the second shot of the game. But he had six shots he had taken by the first at the end of the first quarter. And that like rarely happens. Even in previous years when you needed him to be a scoring guy where you don't really need him to be that. This, you know, and the way this team is constructed, but you always have to respect, if you're the opposition, you always have to respect where he is on the floor because he is a bucket. He is capable of getting that. And that's why when people like always want to throw his name out there to be traded. And I always feel like I'm being an apologist for Harrison Barnes. It's crazy.
We both are Harrison Barnes apologists in the public.
Yeah.
That's what
it is. That's fine. Like, I guess it's fine, but it's like if you're looking at somebody who's more of a one-dimensional player who's strictly out there for defense and doesn't really stretch the floor, it makes it easier for them to leave that guy and double somebody else, right? And he's always typically part of one of the best rotations, the best fives that the Kings have. You know, Fox usually plays well with certain guys, and he's one of them. That's all to say that, like, this, what's the common denominator in a lot of these games recently? Missed free throws. Harrison Barnes can get to the free throw line, and he took it upon himself to try to do so. Brendan, James, how many times we see him get inside the paint? I think he missed three or four layups or three or four at the rim.
He missed two bunnies to start the game. Like, he started four of six, and the two he missed were literally layups. Like, he just and I think he broke three or four on the night.
Yeah, he was. I mean, the dude was a man on a mission. And he was ready to snap this losing skid, it looked like. Now, I don't know that he went into that game thinking I'm going to get 20 shots because that was wild. But again, they don't need to win like that. You'd like to see some, you know, even out there. Like, he doesn't have to go out and score 30 points. He doesn't even have to get to the 20. But to have maybe a little bit of a scoring impact, getting to the free throw line to get easy buckets, but more than anything, really help rebounding, which is tough. I know everyone focuses on that, but he plays with Domantas Sabonis, who gobbles up everything. Guy had 20 rebounds last night. He can certainly do a better job. He and Keegan Murray, both as bigs on this team, can do a better job, but those are harder to get when he was playing on this team with Tyrese Halliburton, and you didn't have Domantas Sabonis, and you're playing with a guy like Rashawn Holmes, who doesn't nearly rebound the ball like Domantas Sabonis does. So look, it's interesting. They need to snap the road. I think they made several adjustments. You had Harrison Barnes. You saw Davion Mitchell being a factor and get the crown after the game. I mean, there's a lot of little kind of things that we saw. You saw JaVale McGee come back in that game after Alex Len had played well. So I think there's a lot of guys that with 3 days off, they had plenty of time to practice, plenty of time to tinker and kind of figure out a couple things.
Yeah. And just so people know, I'm joking about the showcase thing, but what I am saying is that, like, it sure did feel like they were telling people, like, well, if any of you are out there wondering whether he can still play, here you go. Example A, he can still play. That's just not who we are this year. And, you know, Brennan, Mike talked about him being the sixth option. That kind of feels like what it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely is. You know, it goes Fox, Domas, obviously, and then you probably have Keegan third, and then he mentioned sort of Malik and Kevin being on a similar plane, and then you reach HB.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, that's what a guy who's at that point, if you're the sixth best offensive, well, the sixth option in the offense, whether it's the best or not, you're not going to get a lot of opportunity. And I think, you know, again, across the board, Harrison Barnes numbers, the rebounding number, I think, is something that he should address and something he should be better at. Just straight up. He's been a very solid rebounder throughout his career. A couple of years ago, he averaged 6.5. Even with Domantas, he averaged 5.5, and now he's down to like 2.8. He's barely, I think he's 0.2 above Sasha Vezenkov on the season. And Sasha plays 13 minutes a night. So that's not exactly like a ringing endorsement. But outside of that, it just feels like the team is moving in a different direction. And it's not so much Harrison as it is, you know, that they have other players that do things that they need to bring along, and younger players like Keegan Murray that you need to like keep developing and everything else. And so I don't know. I think it'll be interesting couple of weeks.
Can I throw a Mike Brown quote in here from post game? Because yeah, it was interesting to me, the rotational changes that Sean kind of pointed out. Like, it feels like that backup center and point guard thing has been finagled with a lot this year. Like, whether it's Keon or Davion, or it's been Malik recently in that backup point guard, or the backup five going between Len and JaVale, and maybe mixing in here and there some like Trey or Sasha. But coach told us previously that he was going to kind of roll with the same lineup, and obviously he changed it up a little bit. And I think it was Sean, you asked him kind of about the importance of closing out that game after blowing a couple leads, really. And the quote from Mike was, quote, "Those losses were tough. They hurt, but it also made us reflect on what we're doing, starting with me. So I had to watch the game and break it down and give these guys answers as to what should happen on both ends of the floor. And tonight was probably the first night that there was a comfort level in a while in all of us, starting with me, knowing what we're going to do offensively with the basketball and then how we're going to defend defensively." End quote. Definitely interesting for him to be like, this was maybe the most comfortable I've been going into a game, and us as a team.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think Mike has been searching for answers just like everyone else. It does seem like most of the guys on the team, I mean, you're Domantas Sabonis and you're putting up a triple double or double double almost every single night, and you're losing. And that means that you got to figure out ways to do more. And sometimes I think doing more means doing less. But you know, I think some of these guys are struggling with that concept of, you know, allowing things to happen, being more in tune with each other, communicating better. I think we've seen a lot more like little scuffles with players over the last couple of games where they're actually communicating in the moment. And I think that's a good thing, because, you know, these guys at the end of the day, they're like brothers, and that's how I think a lot of brothers communicate. You know, sometimes you got to get on somebody. And, you know, sometimes when somebody gets on you, you can get on them back. And I think that that's a big thing that this team is going through right now, where they're really starting, the accountability aspect of it is starting to crank up a little bit. Let's see. We don't have a ton of time here today. So we probably should do the business of basketball. So trades.
Oh, Jesus.
Every day. No. No, but I think it's interesting that we just saw like a tremendous performance by Harrison Barnes. 32 points. One of his better games in a couple of years. He was active. He was all over the place. And now the Kings go on a 7-game road trip. When they get back from that road trip, they play the Detroit Pistons. And then the next day is a trade deadline. Is this team going to look the same? Is it possible? I know this sounds crazy, and I don't want this to be as in I'm calling my shot here, but I'm wondering, was that Harrison Barnes' last game in a Kings jersey at Golden 1 Center?
I mean, there's no real way of being able to answer that at the moment. I mean,
you're so lame. Pick a yes or no. Boring ass.
Boring ass. Go ahead. Boring ass. Go ahead. Bowling MF-er.
I'm going to say I don't know.
Yeah. Different.
No, if I have to pick, I'll say I do think the Kings are going to make a move if I have to guess. But I'll say also what I've said previously, that I don't think that they should feel pressured to this season. And unless the locker room is a mess and the self-belief internally is getting messy, or if there's pressure from ownership, I don't think that the front office should act out of desperation. I think that we've seen that they're going to be aggressive. They're going to involve themselves in a lot of conversations, as they should, because we know that this team needs to be better if they want to eventually reach championship contention quality, like they say they do, and like I'm sure every organization does. But you don't need to be desperate. So I think they're going to try, and if they think there's something out there that will make them better, that they will. And that makes me lean towards yes. I think that we will see a change, and obviously Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter, Davion Mitchell are going to be like kind of the prime candidates that are involved in those conversations in my mind. But again, I think it's important to say, like, if they don't make a move, I would trust that they did everything. They searched everywhere and just didn't like anything. And then you can figure out a way to move forward from there in the offseason when you have everybody returning, really except Malik Monk, and then try to figure out a deal that does fit then. So I'll go with yes as my guess, but I wouldn't necessarily be disappointed, and I have a trust in the front office that if they didn't, that it wasn't for a lack of effort.
Yeah, I think I'm going to sound a little bit like a broken record. I think they'd like to make a move. I think they've identified areas of need they'd like to improve. But I don't think the people that could be attainable for what they're willing to give up. I don't think that they can truly attain what they want for what they're willing to give up. And it's not going to be for lack of trying. I think they're going to still do everything they can to improve this roster, even this season. But at the end of the day, they double down on, we want to see this. We want to keep the team together. We want to see what this team can do. I think they do still want to upgrade that, make no mistake. But from a consistency and continuity standpoint, I think they want to see what this team looks like by and large in the playoffs again. Even with knowing that their problems are the same problems as they had last year, if they can somehow upgrade something, that they'll do it. But I think they're totally comfortable with the roster that they have going into the playoffs again, and seeing if they can get any further into the rounds of the postseason. But fans should not look at one of the reasons I'm leaning no, that I don't think Harrison Barnes will be moved, is because I've thought Harrison Barnes would be moved for years, and he's still here. So I think I kind of have to stop thinking that he's going to be moved, especially after they've just extended him. So I don't think fans should look at the lack of inactivity as idle hands. And I think if you have to understand that getting into the off season, being in the draft and all those kind of things is a really big part of improving this team. It's not just the trade deadline. Certainly trade deadline helps, but there are many moments throughout the year that you improve your team. And sometimes the moves you don't make are the biggest ones that end up being the best moves overall. So I don't think a lot of fans will like to hear that, because you know, they want it. They probably don't have a high belief that this team can make it, that can sustain a playoff run. And they might be right, but it's a process. And, you know, there are moments that this team is designed to be able to have pieces around them for years to come and build off that continuity. And hopefully, yeah, they can add a piece or two that are going to be key cogs in that wheel. But the wheel's still spinning in motion. It's not ending anytime soon. So they like the group they have around them.
Okay, I'm going to answer it this way. I hope they don't make a move to make a move, because that would be a mistake. But I hope they make a move because 42 games in, I don't think we're convinced that this team is the same team they were last year. I don't think we're convinced. Well, I don't think I'm convinced that they're a playoff team. They're a play-in team. But at this point, the way they're playing, I don't know. I don't know if they're a playoff team or not. And I thought I would have known that by now. And I thought for, you know, maybe most of the season that, oh yeah, this is a playoff team, but they've looked shaky and their behavior is shaky. And like, there are like major glaring questions that you still have with this roster that need to be addressed. And I think the biggest thing, Sean, you pointed out, what they have to offer and what they're trying to get, you might not have enough to offer to go get what you need. And if that's the case, that's okay. You need to figure out a way to get more and not just do something that could hurt you long term. So I'm going to guess that yes, they will make a move between now and the time that we see this team the next time, or at least they'll make a move right afterwards because the trade deadline is the next day. But I don't think that they should feel like it's the only way to move forward this season. And if they don't, this season is lost. Because, like, look, at this point, I don't think that this is a championship roster. And I don't know if it's the second round of the playoff team at this point. You know, right now they're giving away things that could be really important, like home court advantage. And they're just not playing that well. So it might be time to shake it up a little bit, but not at the just to shake it up. Like, shake it up because you're getting better. And so, yeah, I do think they will be different, but I don't know how much. Does that all make sense?
Okay. Yeah. And a bowling shirt, by the way, buttons up. It's not like a polo shirt.
Sean, we're just messing with you, dude.
I don't know. There might be buttons under there. We can't tell.
It felt like we needed a moment of, you know, jovial laughter.
Okay, let's do final thoughts. We'll start with the guy wearing a red A's hat.
Yep.
Well, damn it. I was going to say, I hope Sean's bowling session goes well. I'll say let's go Niners, I guess. I'm pretty hyped that they ended up winning that game. There's a chance I'm at the NFC Championship game as a fan.
Yeah,
we will see.
Oh, hunt me down. Hunt me.
And yeah, I will definitely let you know. Okay. Go say what's up to Jerry Rice with you, I guess. And yeah, you know,
take
I guess
a selfie, Jerry Rice.
Yeah, Sean better hook me up. Damn it.
It is. I gotta say, it is wild to see my favorite football player growing up. And I'm not even saying arguably, and the greatest receiver of all time, be kind of like a mascot more than Sourdough Sam is at your football game. I mean, look, I'm not making fun of Jerry Rice. I mean, that's my guy. I love the guy. But it's just like, at any point, could you imagine if Tom Brady was like doing what he does? I mean, it's amazing that he does. I mean, kudos to him. He's such a likable, he loves people. He's great. And he's great with people, but it's like, can you picture like Tom Brady doing that? Like that'd be wild.
It is wild. yeah. The first time I met Jerry Rice, it was right after his first year in the NFL. And he was at Sierra College where they used to have practice in Rockland. And we were walking around the back of the cafeteria and he had parked his Porsche there that said like Rice 80. And we ran into him, took pictures with him, sign an autograph. He was very nice. He was a very, very young man. That was like, let's say 1987, 86. So long time ago. My dad. Good to see he's still out there. There you go. There you go. he's still out there, like living the dream. Good for Jerry Rice.
He looks like he could still be a receiver. He still go get you a touchdown.
No, he probably could. Okay. Final thoughts. Yeah. Hold on to your hats. I think, you know, it's going to be interesting. I hope all of these issues clear up. I hope everybody's in a better mental space heading out on the road because the Kings seem like a little bit in a funk and hopefully that clears up, when they're all hanging out together away from us, because clearly the media is a problem. all right. That's going to do it for this.
I didn't get my final thoughts. It's okay. Niners. I mean, we keep there. Everyone picking Niners.
Yes. And I don't want to hear it if you're not.
No, this is the team I didn't want the Niners to play. That's all I'll say.
Stop it.
I think they're going to win. I do. All right. This is the team I didn't want to see them play. This is the one that scared me the most.
Really?
It did.
Huh? We'll see. We'll see. This is the one you haven't played. That's one of the problems. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely intriguing to see what's going to happen here.
Can you imagine if you see the Rams? They would have seen you like a, I mean, not that I like, but seeing a team that many times, that can be tough. So,
Thank God you don't know what you're talking about, Sean.
Well, if you're a good team, you should be. If you're the team that the Niners should be, they should beat everybody, except for, I don't know, until the Super Bowl. We'll see what happens.
Get Debo right.
Yep.
Not great. Shout out to Juwan Jennings for putting somebody into the Gatorade table. That was sick. Okay. Outside of that, I think we're done for the day. Make sure to jump on board with the Kings Beat. Go to thekingsbeat.com. If you're still watching, give us a thumbs up if you don't mind. Subscribe to the channel. Let's see what else. We'll do something with the off the record with the Kings Beat virtual happy hour soon. Stay safe out there. Don't go crazy. It's going to be a
spay and neuter your pets.
Thanks, Bob Barker.
Yeah. It looked like you were, searching.
I think we're ready to roll. So, jump on board with the Prize Picks. Say hello to our friends at Blue Wire. Look at some other Blue Wire pods. So for Fox 40, Sean Cunningham and Brenda Nunes from the Kings Pulse podcast. I am James Hamm, Kings Insider for ESPN 1320 and the Kings Beat. Thanks for tuning in to the Kings Beat podcast. We will see you very soon.